Everyone have a Bible? Perfect. All right. So before we start, does anyone have anything that they need any prayer about this week? Everyone good? No prayer requests? Okay, perfect. Tonight, after second service, we are going to do lunch at the Empire. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, lunch at Empire for the youth. So we're going to, if you guys need a ride, let us know. We're going to go over after second service. What we're going to do is on the days that we're serving, when our worship is over there, we're going to finish up. CJ's going to call us on the radio. Then we got to go back over there so you guys can finish up your last song. And then we'll get together and everything, and then we'll leave out of here, go get some lunch. And the youth ministry is going to pay for your lunch today. All right. Isn't that cool? All right. So with that said, first want to let you guys know that we're very proud of you. For those of you that are stepping up today, you sounded really amazing over there. Even Pastor Tony was like, wow, this is awesome. So you guys did a great job. For those of you that are singing and for those of you that are helping, I know there's a lot of you guys that are starting to get involved in the youth here at the church and other roles. We've got people that are helping out with the soundboards and things like that. And it's really come along. You guys have really stepped it up. So we're really proud of you as parents and as youth leaders and, as a church. They're proud of you guys, stepping up. Because as your role, the whole goal for the youth ministry over here is that we equip you so you learn, the Word of God. And you learn, to have a great walk with Christ and stuff. And then as you get older and you graduate school and you graduate high school and you move on to college, and some of you that are going to stay here, the goal is that you're going to continue to go to church here, right? Because it's your church family. So hopefully as you mature in your walk and as you grow and get older, then we'll see you over across the street there. And then you'll be in ministries over there helping out with the kids and then maybe even helping out with the youth and stuff here. So you guys are doing a great job, and just wanted to congratulate you on that. So last week, we were over in Matthew 15, and we're going to finish the chapter this week. And last week was titled, Defilement Comes From Within, right? And we talked about what that means. We talked about how the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day were upset that the disciples weren't washing their hands. And that was some of the actions that preceded where they were getting angry with Jesus. They were getting angry with the disciples. And Jesus had to kind of put them in place and let them know that, no, the defilement isn't from your hands being unclean or from what you eat, right? The defilement is who you are, your character, what is in your heart, and what proceeds out of your mouth. And we'll see that right here in Matthew 15, 10. And 11, he says, then he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. And also in Luke 6:45, as we start going through a lot of the books, Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So we'll see that in the Bible several different times. It's in Proverbs, but it's our character. It's our heart. It's who we are. And Pastor did a great message today on that, on the judges being judged, and a story of someone that was ridiculed at the church, and how sometimes we as people have to handle that too when we get ridiculed or when people say evil things against us. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to that message, I'd encourage you to do so. So we discussed how the religious leaders really started getting offended, right? They got offended by Jesus, by what he was saying to them. And we see that in the scriptures here, that they said, the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? So they were getting upset with him. He was giving them biblical truth. He was speaking the truth to them, and they didn't really know how to handle that. So let's pray. Let's pray here before we get into the study, and then we'll start. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful for you today. We're thankful for the worship. we're thankful for the blessings that you have given some of the youth here with their voices and their musical talents, and we are just so grateful to see them serving you, Father, and being a part of this congregation. And we just pray, Father God, that you will bless them. You will bless all the youth here, the church, the members, the leaders, the workers, Lord, everyone, that you just put your hand upon them and bless them, Father God. And we thank you for your message. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts today. And we pray, Lord, that you will also be with Pastor Tony as he speaks the truth to the congregation today. We thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today we're going to go over, we're going to start in Matthew 21. Or I'm sorry, 15 verse 21. So we went over last week and we went over how defilement is from within. Today we're going to see a little bit different change of pace here. We're going to see another miracle, and we're also going to see some faith, some great faith from some people. All right? We have, we also talked about last week, and I wanted to bring this up, about some of the rules that are being, or laws that are being put into a place, right, that are affecting us as Christians. And when I was studying this, I found something that was really interesting, and we'll read on this in the Old Testament, but can you guys think of anything today that's being passed, or laws that are being passed, that really contradict kind of the Bible, or what Jesus says, or what the Bible says? Yes, correct. Yep, we went over that last week a little bit. Yep, homosexual marriages and relationships. What else? Anyone got anything else? No? Well, this was one that was really interesting to me, because we had a friend that they actually went through this, but some of the laws that are being passed, or some of the laws that are that seem to influence people in this country, are kind of a contradiction to the Bible. This was one that I thought was very interesting. It was an emancipation, right? We had a friend of ours who their son didn't agree with him, didn't agree with how he was being raised. So some states actually allow you to get an emancipation, where you as an adult, or as a youth, I'm sorry, can go and petition, and then you can be signed off. Your parents have no more legal rights for you. It's like kind of like divorcing your parents, right? We had this. So it was kind of, as I was going through the study, it says emancipation of minors, it's really a legal mechanism by which a minor is freed from control of his parents or guardian, and the parents and guardian are actually freed from the child, okay? So that's something that some states allow. Some states do allow that, and we've actually, as a Christian family, we've seen that happen with some of our other Christian family members, that they've dealt with this firsthand. So what was really interesting is that as I was reading the study and I was reading some of the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 21 verse 18, it goes over a rebellious son. And here we'll read Deuteronomy 21 verse 18 says, if a man has a stubborn or rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall be put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So in the old days, if you had a child that was stubborn, that was rebellious, that was rude, maybe disrespectful, maybe was unappreciative, and you counseled them, and this child was still rebellious and wasn't doing, heeding to your call, to your wife, to your, to a mother, father, they were instructed that they would take them out to the elders and they would be stoned to death. Now, in our time and day, if you don't agree with your parents or you have a problem, some states allow you to get an emancipation where now you can be freed or kind of divorced from your parents. So that was just kind of interesting as we were going over some stuff last week. And to me, that was pretty heavy. I was really shocked at, like, man, that's how strict God is in certain things that he deals with. And could you imagine you mouthing off and, you know, instead of me taking a belt or spanking you, you know, because some states even don't allow that anymore. They don't allow you to spank your child. But some of you in here know what it's like to be, you know, disciplined the right way. And I think, you know, it's kids are the way they are, a lot of them, because they do not fear the sound of a leather belt slapping something, right? Does that bring fear to everybody you in here? You hear, I could take my leather belt off and just, you know, slap it together, and I'd probably get some of your attention. But, you know, it's just crazy how we as a nation, we've gone completely away from, you know, some of the things that God, well, for the Jews, what he said that they were to do. And as a nation, they've really, you know, we learned today how they were being judged because they didn't follow what God had called them to do and told them to do. And so they had a lot of consequences for that. So we'll pick up here in chapter 21. It says, a Gentile shows her faith right here. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, true, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And Jesus departed from there, skirted by the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. The great multitude came to him, having with them those who were lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitudes marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude, so they all ate and were filled. And they took up seven large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. So here we're going to go through the teaching that's really significant about this is this woman here and that it talks about in 21. And the reason why, and we saw this in Judges today, which it was really great that Pastor Tony had that. In Judges 3, I think it was, yeah, Judges 3, verse 3. It says, namely, five lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites who dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon to the entrance of Hammon. So these were the enemies of the Jewish people, right? The Canaanites. So these were some of the enemies that that Israel has fought since the beginning of time. And what was so important here in verse 21, or actually, sorry, 22, it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. So this lady, and what's really significant is as we read through the Bible, what we've talked about before is really trying to understand and pull out some of the things that it's telling us. And sometimes I would read through, when I was younger, I'd read through not really understanding why it was so important. But here, this was a Canaanite woman. She was technically an enemy, right? And she's crying out. And the disciples are like, hey, let her go away, right? They were a bitter biblical enemy of Israel they had a lot of pagan religions. And they at one time led Israel into idolatry. and a lot of sin. So most of us would see this enemy, this outsider, and even today, some Christians would really be reluctant to help her, right? Because we look at sometimes as the enemy. And Pastor Tony went over Ephesians 6 today, so we can have a really good understanding of who our enemy is, right? She wasn't an enemy because Jesus came to save and to heal and to help people like her. And I think this is very important, and there's a lesson here. And it's really saying what he's telling us, and the message that we heard from Pastor Tony today in Ephesians, is that we have really got to love our enemies, right? She was an enemy of Israel. Even the disciples were kind of like, oh, send her away from here. They really didn't seem like they wanted to help her. But if we look in Matthew 5:44, it says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, right? And in Luke 27 through 36, let's turn over there. Let's look through Luke 27 and 30. Luke 6, 27. Who would like to read that today? Anybody? You want to read that? Go ahead. Let's read Luke 27 or 6, 27 through 36. Yep. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, so love our enemies, right? So here's an opportunity, and sometimes we just, as we're reading the Bible, we're not really studying the Bible, we could just read over this and just say, oh, Canaan woman. But if we really look into it, like, why would that be put in there? Well, they were enemies of the Jews, right? And so this is an opportunity that Jesus really was teaching us how to be kind to everybody, right? Even our enemies, even enemies of our nation, how to be kind to those people. And we'll read in Ephesians 6, you know, our enemy is not flesh and blood, right? It's a spiritual warfare that we face. So this is a great opportunity where he's teaching us. I really feel that he's saying, hey, you got to love these people, right? Because how it's easy. It says even sinners love sinners, right? So what's crazy is that she was a Gentile living really in a foreign land, but she addressed Jesus saying, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. So here's a lady that she's not Jewish, right? She's an enemy. The term Son of David is really a messianic term, and this tells us she knew something of the promise of God to send a Savior. She addressed Jesus as a Messiah, and we're not told where she had learned this, but she is correct that, right, Jesus is Lord. She addressed him. She saw something. She knew something about him, and she went to him, and she got her daughter healed through her faith. So that's very important. It would have been easy for her to turn away in anger or sorrow, right? Because he's telling her about the scraps of the dog, right? It says he didn't answer her. And then when he did answer, he said, they're saying to send her away. And he says, he answered and said, is it not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs? And in verse 27, he says, and she said, true, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. So some people look at it as some of the commentaries, it's almost kind of like he didn't really give her much to go off of. And she turns around what he says and says, hey, even the scraps, even just touching Jesus, right? People were being healed by touching his cloak. We saw that in 14. People getting healed just by being there. So she had an understanding of this, which is pretty powerful. But what I like is then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. So that's important for us, right? To have that type of faith. Because we're going to be going through struggles and we're going to go through trials, especially in our teenage years. But to have faith, right? Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayer right now. He doesn't answer some of the things we're going through right now. But we got to have faith, right? We got to have faith and pray and fight the good fight. So his disciples would not have expected such faith from a Gentile. Their perceptions and views of Gentiles, they're going to eventually change, and we're going to see that as we go through the New Testament in Acts and some of the others. And Peter, for example, would one day realize in Acts 10:34, it says, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. So he doesn't show partiality, right? And then later, we would recognize the fact that the gospel is for all. In Acts 11:18, when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. So this was the start of his ministry, showing the disciples, hey, we are going to heal people, we're going to save people. And now they're starting to see this. And in Acts, as they get, as the disciples, when they start really teaching and leading people and healing people, it starts becoming really known to them that he came to save everybody. He came for every single one of us. All right? Jesus answered, "O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish." So, I mean, I hope that I have faith like that. That's one thing that I pray, that, you know, that I have a faith like this woman, you know, knowing that Jesus is going to, that the Lord is going to take care of us. He's going to take care of our needs, that the promises that he puts in this book are real, right? That we have things that we can attach to. And while the world is sick and lost and they're dying and they have no hope, we have hope. We have hope as Christians. And knowing that what is in this word is true, right? That's the faith that we want. So it needs to be, our faith needs to be also to endure. We have the confidence that Jesus, what he told this woman, "And therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." That's Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, right? Having endurance in our faith, that we're told, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." So we have promises, and reading this Bible and, you know, and studying it. And I really encourage you on Wednesdays, as we start our new, the basic study, I encourage you to bring some friends. If you have friends that you want to really, you know, grow in their faith and grow in their walk, I really encourage you to bring them to our studies on Wednesday. It's gonna be awesome. So you could imagine when that day was over, right? When that mom went back, there's only one mom in here right now, but you know, but we love our kids, right? And when that mom went back to her daughter and she was able to hold her daughter and she was free from that crucial bondage that she suffered, what do you think that felt like for her? What do you think that felt like? That now her daughter is not possessed anymore, that she wasn't sick anymore. What do you think? How do you think the mom felt? Relieved? Ecstatic, maybe happy, right? For one, I'd still be sitting there amazed, holding my kid like, wow, that was the Messiah. Like, I'd still be in disbelief that the Messiah was there, that I got to see him and touch him, but she was relieved. You would have to think that she felt so happy that the Messiah had pronounced her faith as great, all right? She had, he had answered her request and healed her daughter. So she had not let the others really persuade her to give up, because how easy is it for us to give up? If God's not doing what we want to be done right now, how easy is it for us just to say, okay, I quit, I give up, right? If music's not going good for you, is it easy just to quit and be like, I'm going to give up? Or do you have to keep practicing? You got to keep practicing over and over, right? Baseball. Some of you play, what other sports are you guys playing here? Soccer. You can't be a good soccer player if you don't play soccer, right? You can't grow in the Word, and you can't have a strong faith if you're not reading the Bible, if you don't have a prayer life, if you're not spending time in the Word on your own outside of here, right? So I really hope that we can learn from this, that we can really have this type of faith and confidence in our Savior. And we won't always have our prayers answered, but we need to have faith that God is going to still have the promise in this Bible. They're going to affect our life, and we know that one day we will see him in eternity, right? So, all right, let's keep reading on here. Verse 29 through 32, we're going to see him. Jesus really starts, he departs from there, from the sea. He heals this woman, and he departs, and he goes up to the mountain and sat down there. In verse 29, the great multitude came to him, having with them those who were lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. So they got to see this firsthand, right? This lady went home after her daughter was healed. She got to hold her daughter. Her daughter was not possessed anymore. Her daughter was healed. So that now these people are seeing this firsthand. They're seeing lame people walking and talking and mute people being able to talk and lame people were healed. So that is pretty amazing. And then we see right here in verse 32 through 39, we see another miracle performed. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up seven large baskets full of fragments that were left. At the end of the meal, they gathered more, not less. So I want you guys to understand that this is a whole different miracle right here. All right? Oh, they got to go right now? Okay. All right. You girls go ahead and take off. We're almost done. We have like 2 more minutes. We got 2 minutes. Just hold tight. We're almost done. I got like 2 minutes. We're almost done. All right. So one last thing. In chapter 14, 2 weeks ago, you guys learned of another miracle, right? What was that? Does anyone remember? Oh, you got to go? Okay. All right. So we, in chapter 14, right? There was another miracle that he fed. How many? 5,000, right? So we know that this is a different miracle. Why? Because it tells us right here that he fed how many? 4,000. So we know it's a different miracle, right? In chapter 32 here, or sorry, verse 32, we see that he's now they're going to start feeding 4,000. So we know that this is a whole different miracle. So if you're taking notes, you want to write these down and keep track of where these miracles are in the Bible. They're different, right? They're a different miracle. We're going to see these. I would encourage those to write that down. This was a new crowd in a new location. And it's important to see that this is not them retelling the same story. It's not the same story, right? This is a different area. It's a different location, and it's a different miracle. So he's feeding them, 5,000 people. And that's important, right? Because now we're seeing that it wasn't just Jewish people. It wasn't just people of religious value. He was feeding everybody. We see it in the Canaan woman there that he healed her. He healed his daughter. So he's healing all these other people. So we'd have to look at the fact that he's healing. He'd be healing us, right? If we saw him, he'd heal us. He's healing other people. He's healing our enemies, people that hate us, people that don't like us. He's healing them. So that's really important. So I guess we got to finish up, and we're going to go have lunch at Empire. So bring your appetites. We're already ready. I can see it on the look of Brennan's face. He was hungry an hour ago. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the words that you give us. And we just pray, Father, that you will continue to speak to our hearts as we study your word. Be with the girls as they sing over there and just bless them. And we pray for our time at the Empire Buffet, what we're going to go to, Lord, that you just bless us and you be with us and be with our fellowship and to come to respect and to love each other. And we thank you for this day and pray that you be with us as we go out into this world. We praise you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.